Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your glory, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as sign travaileth, she brought forth her children. The first thing that I noticed when I tried to study this lesson was that he says here in the fifth verse, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Those people that have been saved of the Lord and know his great power and understand that God is in charge and he's in control. And he says, ye that tremble, that recognize that God is a sovereign God. He will have things his way. And that understand, you know, we will be chastised when we fail to do what the Lord would have us to do. He will put us in a position that we will turn to him. If we choose to stray off, the Lord will eventually bring us back. And I remember a preacher talking about how that when God called him to preach, he didn't want to do that. And y'all know who I'm talking about probably. And he fought against the Lord. And the Lord, he took his children from him. He caused them to die. That brought him around. And, you know, if you think that the Lord can't put us where he needs us to be, when we resist, he has that power. He can bring us around to what he would have us. And I'm talking about saved individuals. And that's what he's talking about here. Ye that tremble at the word. We need to be fearful of the Lord, not fearful of him in a thought that God is going to, doesn't love us, but fearful in the manner that a child is when that child does something wrong. You know, I remember knowing when my parents were going to find out that I'd done something I shouldn't do, there was going to probably be a spanking involved. There was going to be a switch or whatever. And, you know, that's fearful. I mean, let's be honest now. When you're a little kid and you've been caught doing something, I think most of y'all can look back, and there was some fear there, and there should be, that because that brings about respect, and we studied about that a little bit last week, respect for parents, and that needs to be there, but there needs to be respect to God also for the fact that he is in charge, he is in power, he is in control of things. And Isaiah's talking to these people, those that respect God, those that understand he's in charge. And he says, your brethren, those people that were in power at that time, they cast you out. Those people weren't in fear of the Lord, I don't believe. The ones that were in power didn't fear God. They didn't respect him the way they needed to be. And they cast out these people that were worshiping God in truth and in spirit. And they said, let the Lord be glorified. The ones that were doing the casting out, that were in charge, that were in power, let the Lord be glorified. But Isaiah says, but he shall appear to your joy. The ones that were truly worshiping God, the ones that trembled, the ones that feared God, he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. The ones that that didn't fear God the way that they ought to. Now, our lesson text is when Zion travails, and Brother Armour spoke, I think it was last week, he said that he was speaking about the troubles that we have in our lives, and those that are sick, and many of y'all have either gone through that or have gone through that with parents that are not well, and the burden that brings upon your heart. And Brother Armour stated that the verse came to his mind that when Zion travails, she brings forth children. You know, we have to have a burden. We have to be concerned. I'm speaking about a burden for the lost right now. There are many different kinds of burdens, and we are, as God's people, have many burdens that we have to carry. We have to be concerned about many things, but right now I want to talk about the lost, a burden for the lost. We're going to try to have a revival. We're going to have an effort meeting. We call it by several different names, but the thought is that we're going to try to draw near to the Lord that He might save souls. That's not going to happen if we don't have a burden. If we're not concerned with our relationship to God, if we're not in travail, you know, travail, it's talking about, that word brings to mind a woman in labor, a woman about to give birth to a child, and the pain that's associated with that. Well, there's going to need to be some pain in our heart, some trouble, some worry about what's going on about us, about our relationship to the Lord, about the lost, the condition that they're in, where they're headed. You know, we've got to care. We've got to, and I mean, when I say care, I believe everyone here cares, but we've got to truly be worried about that. It's got to really bother us. We have to be in this condition here that it says when Zion travails, because until we get there, we're not really going to get our prayers through to God, and He's not going to be among us. He's not going to be moving among us. That's what it takes. God's people have to desire to have God among them. We have to desire, we have to want His Spirit among us. When His Spirit is among us, it'll bring conviction to the lost. I really believe that, because the Spirit of God is troubling to lost individuals. They sense that. They feel that. And that's going to lead them to repentance. That is all that will lead them to repentance. He goes on here to say, a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to His enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Those two verses are a little bit above what I can explain to you, but what I believe it's talking about is the amount of pain, the amount of travail, the amount of burden that we have upon our hearts is nothing in comparison with the joy that is to come. It's nothing in comparison to the importance of the salvation of lost souls. I guess as the song says, it's been worth it all. It will be worth it all. All the heartache and the travail and the pain that we endure in this life will be worth it. And it has been worth it when we feel the Lord moving among us, when He comes in and He comforts us, whether it's here in church or throughout our work week. You know, a lot of times, I'm sure this happens to you, but things kind of get you down. You get discouraged. You feel like things are all going wrong and it seems like nothing can go right. And when I get that way, if I'll turn to the Lord and just pray just a little bit, just have just a little bit of a burden and ask Him to help me out, and He hears that, and then suddenly it just doesn't matter anymore. You know, things just kind of, either He handles the situation and things start turning right, or you go on and things stay wrong, but you're okay with it. You can make it through because the Lord's with you and He's comforting you. And it just doesn't matter what happens because God is there with you. Now, by the same token, things can be going great in your life. You're not having any problems, and you should be the happiest person in the world. But you've kind of separated yourself from God. You've fallen away, and you're just kind of living your life at ease in Zion, as the Bible teaches. And there's no peace. There's no contentment. Something's just not right. And as a child of God, you know that, you feel it, and you just don't have the happiness that you can remember. You don't have that contentment, that satisfaction that you know is out there, but it's just seems like it's out of your reach, and you can't quite put your finger on it from a natural standpoint, but you know in your heart what the problem is. You know in your heart that you've drifted away from God, and you don't feel His presence anymore. So, straying a little bit off of our lesson there, but the point being, we need this burden, we need this travail to keep us near to God, because when we don't have that, when we don't feel that, our natural tendency is to just drift off, to just kind of ease up and take it easy, because it's let's be honest, it's a lot more comfortable for us as human beings to be at rest, to close our eyes and just kind of let the world go by and not worry about things. That's just what we naturally want to do. But when we do that, the Bible says, woe to those that are at ease in Zion, that don't take the burden, that are unwilling to carry the burden for the Lord. And when that happens, lost people don't feel the Spirit of the Lord. And without the Spirit of the Lord in our churches, there is no conviction. There won't be any conviction. I failed to read the John 16:21, which is also our lesson key. I'll just read it one time here. A woman, and this is John 16, verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And I think this is a very good description of the process of a church having a burden for lost individuals, and how that when that lost individual is saved, you know, we feel that, we know that, and we can partake of the joy that the individual themselves feel. It's just, it kind of just spreads throughout the church. That's pretty well everything that I have for today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments? I know it's been a short lesson, but I hope you got a little bit of something out of it.
Brother, if you look at the, especially like in the Gospel of John, the verse that you read, one of the things I really love about that passage right there is that if you go back to verse 20 in that same chapter, Jesus was still before his, he was preparing his disciples for when he would die on the cross. Mm-hmm. He was going to be crucified just a little while, and he's trying to kind of prepare them to get the word for that. And in verse 20, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You know, that's a lot. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, his disciples were torn up about that. They were sad. They weep. They lament. And he said, but the world will rejoice. You know, a lot of people that wanted Christ out of the way because he was hindering their power and their authority and their respect of God. He said, you shall be sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, I've got two little kids, and I can remember the first time my wife was in labor, it was like the better part of a day. You know, I was worn out from just having to be there with her. I thought, ooh, you know, I had to go down to the chapel and take a break. You know, she was up there in labor. Like, man, this is tough stuff. But when you've got that newborn child, and I can't speak from personal experience, but she seemed like to me anyway that she there was something about it that just really. Really a blessing and special for her. Of course, it was special for me too. But, you know, they're from home. I really do think we kind of forget it. Now, of course, you always, you know, you hear women talk to each other, they'll have their own labor stories or whatever. I don't like that. But there was a joy there that a man, that a child was born in the world. We've gone to verse 22. It says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again. In other words, you will be sorry. I will die on that cross. But I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. In other words, yeah, come, they're going to crucify me. And you'll be sad and you'll lament and they'll be happy about it. But I will come back. He was talking about his resurrection now. And your heart shall rejoice. And I love that last part. And your joy no man taketh from you. It's like, there have been times in my life when I tell you what, this about seemed like my boss took my joy away from me. Or my, you know, family members or even church members or friends or whatever, just life, you know. Sometimes it's tough. And you get to the point where it seems like, you know, but then my brother's been through a lot. And a lot of it's his own fault. He's got a, his family situation's a mess, honestly, with that. But I was at the restaurant and I was looking at this. And you know what? You know, God wants us to rejoice. Nobody can take that from us. Nobody can take it. We take it away from ourselves, maybe. You know, we get all, woe is me, or this is bad. You know what the greatest thing about it is that when everything just seems to be falling apart and you can't fix it, it's all a big mess. People aren't behaving right. Might have lost your job, and God knows what else. I mean, you can praise the Lord amongst all of that because of the rejoicing that you have in the resurrected Savior. And I tell you what, people will notice that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's good when you got everything going well and people honor and glorify Christ when things are going smoothly. But when you see somebody who's been down and they've been down and they've been down, they still thank the Lord for what He's done for them. There's a lot of power in that.
I believe it is.
Thankful. Nobody, Satan himself can't take that joy. He tries.
The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a great comfort right there. It just is what you were talking about, you know. We do have someone we can always turn to.
We also have met Tony. He is a preacher from Lyons Missionary Baptist, where Brother Forshey is at now. He's been with us this weekend, and he and Barry walked the neighborhood yesterday. Talk to some people.
Yeah, don't pray for me. I have to behave now that I got Brother Forshey. He doesn't, you know, I'll tolerate a lot of food.
And he's great, isn't he?
He's a good guy.
Yes. We love you.
Well, I appreciate these comments, and it's good to have both of y'all here today, both the visitors. If there's a not anything else, we can be dismissed. Let's keep Brother Armour in our prayers. The Lord might be with him. And we've got a lot to be prayerful for. I spoke about a revival coming up, but we need to be prayerful for our church every Sunday, for the ones that are standing here, and the members. I mean, we just have a lot to be in prayer about. So, if there's nothing else, I'll ask Brother Hicks if he would dismiss us.